Okay, today is June 22nd, 2015. Okay, we'll we'll do one time homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, so this is lesson 11 and the second lesson. Lesson 11. We have to finish up the grammar. Okay, we went through the middle voice forms very quickly because there's not much to explain. You just have to get familiar with them. And then I sent you last night with the announcement a useful little passage from Duracell's Pali Grammar. It just... Do you have it printed out?
Yeah.
You can make a copy for Carol.
That's why I brought it. Yeah,
it's just about two paragraphs.
Thank you.
Okay, now we come to section 5 in the grammar on page 155. This is called locative of, again, these terms make my head dizzy. Locative of reference and locative of contact. Okay, so what they explain. The locative case may be used with a sense of in reference to or with relation to or concerning. And also, it's useful for me to point out that in Pali, in relation to desire and knowledge, the locative case is used. Like in English, we say, I have a desire for ice cream. So we use for something. I have a desire for a new car. Or else we have the object of desire in the accusative when we use a verb that means desire. I desire a new car. I desire chocolate ice cream. But in Pali, the object of desire comes in the locative case. So one has a desire in relation to, you could say, in regard to. So for example, in English we would say craving craving for forms, right? Or lust for forms. But in Pali it would be rupesu rago or rupesu tanha. So craving in regard to forms, lust in regard to forms. And similarly, in regard with knowledge, in English we say, I have knowledge of something. So one has, you say the disciple has knowledge of suffering, knowledge of its origin, knowledge of its cessation. But in Pali, the object of knowledge comes in the locative case. So we say, Dukkhe jnanam, dukkha samudaye jnanam, knowledge in regard to suffering, knowledge in regard to the origin. Okay, so here they give an example. Kattang mayang tathagatasa sarire pati pajama. This is after the Buddha is about, when the Buddha is about to pass away, I think Ananda asked the Buddha, how should we act in regard to the body of the Tathagata? In other words, what should we do with the body of the Tathagata? How should we treat the body of the Tathagata? Okay, so we just started the first point. Okay, and then they have what they call the point locative use with the point of contact. And then they just give one example here. Tung kesesu ganhati. So in English, we would say he grabbed him by the hairs of the head. But in Pali, the thing that's grabbed, the point, what's called the point of contact, comes in the locative.
You can't hear it.
He grabbed him on the hairs of the head. Who said something?
Francis.
What did you say?
I can't hear.
Can everybody hear? Venerable Satchinanda? You hear, Bowie hears. Kim, you hear?
Yes, we can hear you, Bante.
I can hear you, Bante.
So everybody else.
I think Francis said something.
She said I can't hear. The microphone's also on.
Francis? I want to send her a note.
Maybe there is something wrong with
her. Yeah.
Speak.
You and Michael
can hear her, but she can't hear us.
How do I get back into the normal? Okay. Okay, so these are just the examples of. So in Pali, he grabs him on the hairs. Okay, then comes the. This is the passive form of the verb labhati. The verb labhati means, in the active voice, to get something, to obtain. The passive form, labhati, would mean is gotten, is obtained. But it also has a special use to mean something like is possible. So you can see how we get from it can, for example, it, I think it, usually it comes in a negative. It cannot be obtained, which in effect means it isn't possible. Or something, it can be obtained means it is possible. They don't give an example here, but in the reading, okay, on page 149, we'll see an example of this. Page 149, at the top, the third line. Okay, it says, Nucha labhati rupe evang me rupang hotu evang me rupang ma ahositi. So, literally, this would be, it is not obtained in regard to form. Let my form be thus. Let my form not be thus. Okay, that is literally rendering labhati as it is gotten. In this case, negated. It is not gotten. But we could also render it as it is not possible in regard to form to think, let my form be thus, let my form not be thus. In other words, the point is that we don't have absolute mastery over bodily form. And how is labhati, how does that count as the passive? Let me share the screen.
Bhante.
Yeah?
So in that example, rupe, it was that accusative plural?
No, no, this is the locative singular. It's in regard to form. Okay, I'm going to share the screen. And now, okay, the regular active verb is labhati, to get. Now, if we wanted to make this a passive, what would be the first step to make it a passive using the passive insert or infix?
Labhyati.
Right. We'd have labhyati because that y is what makes a verb passive. But what happens in Pali is that you see this bia, it's not a very characteristic sound in Pali. So what happens is that it undergoes a certain change to make it easier to pronounce. And so it turns into B plus BH, who becomes labhati. So labhati turns into labhati. Mm. Like if we have a verb like karoti, to make this passive, we would have kariyati. To make is made. To take, hariti, is taken would be. Hariyati, to give, deity, we get deity. And so the passive forms are made by inserting the YA into the middle of the verb. But in the case of lub, because of this difficult sound combination, lubyati, so it becomes lubbati. See another example of this. Okay, this is it. Here, when the Buddha is about to pass away, Ananda is crying. Actually, it's a little different form. So he says, the Buddha says, Sabbeheva piyehi manapehi. Nana bhavo, vina bhavo, anyata bhavo, tang kut eta, ananda labha. This is a different form. I don't want to go into it. It would be a little confusing now. But it's a, you see, it's a passive based on labha. Okay, he's saying to Ananda, enough, Ananda, do not sorrow, do not weep. Haven't I declared previously, haven't I previously declared this, that from all that is dear and agreeable, there is separation, say parting, separation, and alteration. So how, how, Ananda, could this be obtained? This, I think, is a future passive participle. How can this be obtained, that what is born, come to be, conditioned, fragile? Or that the body of the Tathagata, which is born, come to be, conditioned, fragile, would not decay. That is not possible. Okay, let us go back to the book. Okay, next we come to section 6. This is comparative and superlative. Comparative is saying something is more than something else. Superlative means that something is the most, the best. And so here they just give comparative forms. The comparative is formed, usually is formed, by adding the suffix tara to another word. And the superlative is formed by adding tama to an adjective. So we have the word piya, which means dear or beloved. Then piyatara means dearer, and the superlative would be piyatama, the most dear. Sadhu means sweet. Sadhutara means sweeter. And I guess sadhutama would mean sweetest. Bahu means much. Bahutara means more. Bahutama would seem to mean the most. I'm not sure that we find that form, though. No, there's no occurrence of Bahutama. The Bahutara, many, many, very, very common. Okay, then they give silavant for virtuous, silavantatara. I'm not sure that it actually occurs. Where's the long eye? Yeah, it doesn't occur in the text anywhere. So it's an empty example. Okay, balavant, powerful, balavatara occurs. Well, we just get very, very, very few occurrences, just in one passage.
That's a different form that's in the book. Extra ta.
Excuse me?
Is that a different form that's... The book is Balavantara.
Yeah, except it should have the N in there. Balavantatara.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, then they mention the case of the superlative with tama, and they give just one example. Sattama, which means the best. It's based on the word sant, or the stem. Sant, which means good. And I think that there would be a form satatara, which means better. And then satama, which means the best. And they mention some irregular comparatives and superlatives, but let's not worry about these. Okay, and then they just give the last part is an explanation of the term Pacheka Buddha. This is Pija, what's it called? Pija 4, or Yuan, was it Yuan 4?
Yuanjui.
So, Pratyeka Buddha, or Pacheka Buddha in Pali, it comes from prati, which is a prefix, plus eka. Eka means one, plus Buddha, awakened. So we would have, or actually in the prati is the Sanskrit form, the Pali would be pati. So we would have Pacheka Buddha. But what happens to the word Pacheka, because we have T and Y, and what happens when T and Y come together in Pali, because if you try to pronounce them, you see it's a little rough on the tongue. Pacheka, you have to curl the tongue. So to make it easy to pronounce, in spoken languages, it turned into Pacheka.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In the text, it talks about like the frequency in which a Buddha comes.
Yeah.
But do they talk about how often a Pacheka Buddha comes into existence?
It's just that it said that the Pacheka Buddhas don't arise at a time when a Buddha is existing in the world. But when in a period between Buddhas, then Pacheka Buddhas can arise.
There can only be one Pacheka Buddha.
No. There can be many.
Okay.
There can be many. In fact, in the commentaries, they form groups that hang out in hermitages, remote hermitages. So the Sanskrit still retains the form pratyeka. So in Sanskrit, we have the pratyeka Buddha. But in Pali, it turns into Pacheka Buddha.
Bhante?
Yeah.
So, bhakti has nothing to do with them.
With condition.
Right. Chinese as yuan jue, then where does that yuan come from?
Yeah, this is an interesting point. This is a conjecture. There's a paper on this, I think by K.R. Norman, speculating that there could have been a dialect. You see, there's a tendency in Middle Indo-Aryan languages for K and Y to change into each other. For example, there was a monk, an evil monk. In some texts in Pali, his name comes down as Kokalya. In other texts, the name comes down as Kokalika. And there are some other examples, too, where sort of K and Y can change into one another. Okay, so Norman's speculation is that there was a dialect in which the name for this type of person could have been Pratyaya Buddha. And pratyaya would have been the way in which, in this dialect, the word pratyaya, in Sanskrit, pratyaya was pronounced. And pratyaya in Pali is pachaya, condition. And so some early texts, you know, in other dialects, not Pali, could have understood pratyaya as meaning what would be Sanskrit pratyaya, condition. So a pratyaya Buddha is one who is enlightened to conditions. Whereas in Pali and probably other languages, other dialects, pratyaya came to be understood as pratyeka Buddha, which then in Pali becomes pacheka Buddha. And so in this way you get an ambiguity about the original meaning of the word. Either pratyeka, which means for oneself, by oneself, somebody who is enlightened by himself. So that's the solitary Buddha or silent Buddha. But if we take pratyeka, or if we take pratyaya as evolving into pratyaya or pachaya, then it's somebody who is awakened to conditioned, to conditions. And we even get this tradition in the Fa Hua Jing, the Lotus Sutra, according to which when one of the early chapters, the Buddha is explaining how the different classes of enlightened beings become enlightened. And so the Shravakas become enlightened to the Four Noble Truths, but the Pratyeka Buddhas become enlightened to the chain of the 12 conditions. Okay, any questions? Any more questions on the grammar? Yeah.
Since I just see the locative back there, it's a question I had and I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
At the end of the Heart Sutra with the gate, gate, paragate.
Yeah.
Is that a locative absolute?
Is it a
locative absolute?
Well, it's a mantra, so it doesn't really have a grammatical form. I don't know. Because it's just a chain of words. It's a locative form, but whether it's functioning as a locative, it's hard to say, because it's like a mantra, so it's just a sequence of words.
Does that mean go? Go, go, go.
Gone would be gone.
Gone. Gone, but this one's gone, but still going.
No, it's gate, gate, para, gate. Okay, gone, gone, gone beyond para sam gate. Gone, fully gone beyond. Okay, so let us go. Any questions over the internet? Okay, so now we can go to the readings. And we pick up, now we're on page 147. Francis?
Yes.
Can you hear me all right?
Meow.
It's an affirmative.
Okay,
now we come to the story about, it was the story about the one cowherd and a Pacheka Buddha, and the cowherd has a cat that regularly waits on the Pacheka Buddha.
Wait,
no,
a dog.
A dog. What?
I think we did this
part of it.
No, we just did the first two paragraphs. Okay, so we are on page 147, the third paragraph. It starts, ut, ek, okay, I'll recite and you follow me. Ut eka diva sang.
Ut eka diva sang.
Anyang magang pati pajitva.
Anyang magang pati pajitva.
Suna kena tiryang tatva. Varya mano pi anivatitva.
Varya mano pi anivatitva.
Tang padena apanetva.
Tang padena apanetva.
Payasi.
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 Okay, so ut eka diva sang. So here we have to break up. This is a sandhi. So utta is then. Eka diva sang is one day. Anyang magang is another path. And pati pajitva is grammatical form, is
gerund.
It's the gerund, and it means, in this case, having traveled or having walked on. So one day, having walked onto it, when the Pacheka Buddha has walked onto another path, sunakena tiryang tatva, so varyamanopi, so varyamano, what grammatical form is this?
Present.
It's present participle and
passive.
Exactly. Very good. It's a passive present participle. How do we know that it's passive?
Mama.
The why.
Yeah, Venerable Sagarakantu got it, because there's a why, the I-Y in there. So the normal verb would be, I need a long... Vareti, and it means to stop or to restrain, to block. And so the regular present participle, well, at least one form of it would be Varaya mana. This would mean that somebody is actively blocking. But here we have IY. So this indicates that it's a passive form. So it takes on the meaning of being blocked, being stopped. Okay, so even though he, that's the Bhujaka Buddha, was being blocked sunakena by the dog, that's the instrumental, Tiriyang Tattva, having stood across. So in other words, the Pacheka Buddha is going on this deliberately. He's taking a different path. And so the dog comes and tries to block the Pacheka Buddha by standing crosswise like this. Maybe he's a big dog, like a German Shepherd.
Don't
scare the cat. Okay, so again a gerund, which means nivatiti means to turn back, but this is negation, not having turned back. Tung padena upanate va. So here another gerund. Upanati. It comes from upa, which means something like away. And nati means to lead, normally to lead. So this is to lead away. Or maybe here, maybe it sounds better to say to push away. Padena, with the foot. So the dog is trying to block the Pacheka Buddha, but the Pacheka Buddha doesn't turn back. Instead, he pushes the dog away with the foot, and then payasi, he departs, he leaves. So here, in Pali, it's just as continuous, but in English, because the subject shifts, so we have to express it somewhat differently. Okay, so then one day, I would add the Pacheka Buddha, having entered upon or walked onto another path, even though he was being blocked by the dog, which stood crosswise, without having turned back, the Pacheka Buddha, having pushed him away with his foot, he departed, he set out. Okay, so what happens next? Okay, Sunako. Tassa anivatana bhavam yatva.
Tassa anivatana bhavam.
Nivasana kane dasitva.
Nivasana kane dasitva.
Akadanto.
Akadanto.
Gantaba magam eva papesi.
Gantaba magam eva papesi.
So this is a very persistent dog, you'll see. Okay, so Sunako, the dog, tassa anivatana bhavam nyatva. So nyatva is having known. And now we have anivatana, which means not turning back. And bhava means a state or a condition. So literally, it's the dog having known his condition of not turning back. That's very literal. But in English, we would put it more simply. We'd say the dog having known that he was not turning back. So what does the dog do? Nivasana kane. No, you read already. So, no, you don't have to read a second time. Nivasana kane dasitva. So dasati is to bite. And then it's nivasana. Nivasana is the lower robe, the robe that's like the skirt or the sarong. Is sarong an English word? Do we use it in English now?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then kana is corner. Actually, you can see the Pali just, the Sanskrit would be karna. It's just like corner. Probably, you know, that they just have the same origin, the two words. So having bitten on a corner of his underrobe, akadanto, akadati is to pull. So pulling, gantaba magang. So this is a compound of gantaba, which means what? What grammatical form is it?
Future
passive participle. To be gone, to be traveled. And magga is path. And then the eva is just for emphasis. Then pa-pesi means to make reach. They give it. Papeti, okay, they give. Brings to, causes to attain. So we could say he brought him to the path to be traveled. He brought him to the correct path. So this is the Pacheka Buddha is just trying to test the dog to see whether how intelligent the dog is. would a fully enlightened being test the dog? I don't know.
Why would he be bothered with this whole exercise?
Yeah. Teasing a dog like that? I don't know.
Maybe the dog is a Buddha.
Okay, so the dog, reading the whole sentence, so the dog, having known that he was not turning back, having known his state of not turning back, having bitten on a corner of his lower robe, pulling, brought him to the path to be taken, the correct path. Okay, then, evang so sunako,
evang so sunako,
tasmin pacheka budde,
tasmin pacheka budde,
balava sinehang upadesi,
balava sinehang upadesi.
Okay, so evang is thus, in this way, that dog. Then we have jumped to the verb upadesi, which is the causative of upajati. Upajati means to arise. So this is caused to arise, or aroused, or we could say, what's another word we could say? Brought forth. Balava sinehang. Balava is strong, and sineha is affection or love. Pacheka budde. And what case is pacheka budde? Locative case. So that you could see that, as I said earlier, words that mean, well, I get used craving, lust, also affection. In English, we have an affection for somebody, but in Pali, it's an affection in somebody, in regard to somebody. So in this way, that dog gave rise to a strong affection in regard to that Pacheka Buddha. Any questions so far? See, it's a very simple but elegant style of Pali. Okay. Uparabhage.
Uparabhage.
Pacheka Buddhasa Jivarang Jiri. Atasa Gopalako.
Atasa Gopalako.
Chivara Vatani Adasi.
Chivara Vatani Adasi.
Okay, so Uparabhage means at a later time. Then Pacheka Buddhasa Jivarang, the Pacheka Buddha's robe, jiri, means to wear out, to become worn out. And so then the cowherd gave, here we have the aorist verb, adasi, gave to him, that's the asa here, gave to him chivara vatani, cloths, pieces of cloth for making a robe. Pacheka Buddho, pasuka tanang gantva,
pasuka tanang gantva.
Shivaram kare samiti. Gopalakang aha.
Gopalakang aha.
Okay, so the Pacheka Buddha said to the cowherd, so he says, Pasuka tanang gantva, having gone to a convenient place. Pasuka can mean comfortable or convenient. Then chivarang kare sami, I will get a robe made. Kare sami is the future causative of the verb karoti. So in his little hut, it's not so easy for him to take the pieces of cloth and make a robe. So he has to go maybe to the town.
Maybe. Would you like martini?
That's okay. So it says, having gone to a convenient place, I will get a robe made. Okay, so then the farmer, the cowherd says to him, Sopi, Bante, Ma Chirang Bahi Vasita,
Ma Chirang Bahi Vasita,
Ti Avadi. Okay, so the cowherd said, Bante, do not live outside, or do not stay outside for long. And notice, Vasita, what form of the verb is this? Grammatically, what form is it?
Future.
Imperative?
No. Now, first I want to see, not in terms of function, but first grammatically, what form is it? I thought I heard it coming from.
Aorist.
Right. Grammatically, it's the aorist.
Oh.
But you notice that it's being used with the negative command, ma. So its function is not to indicate the past tense, or not to indicate past time, but it's the negative command, do not. Do not stay. So this is a point made in the grammar section, that the aorist is used, when it's used with the negative command particle ma, it takes on the meaning of a prohibition, a negative command. Do not stay outside, or do not stay away long.
And Bhante?
Yeah.
And is that in middle voice? Vasita?
No, I think this is the regular aorist. Let me just take a look at the grammar.
I think I was confused.
It's the second person plural, yeah, because it's the polite form is plural. Okay, sunakopi. Okay, yeah, you have to recite after me. Sunakopi.
Sunakopi.
Te sankatang sunanto atasi. Okay, so the dog too, then the verb atasi means he stood. Then we have sunanto. What form is this? Right, present participle, and it's masculine singular. Of course, it goes with the dog. So the dog stood listening to their talk. Then, Pacheka Bude, Vehasang Abu Gantva. Okay, you recite. Gachante Boom Karitva Titasa Sunakasa Hatayang Pali. Okay, so here we have Pacheka Bude going with Gachante. And what grammatical form is this? Okay, Gachante is a present participle. What case are they? Locative. Why a locative? Why? Right, it's the locative absolute. So, while the Pacheka Buddha, then we have Vehasang. Vehasang means up in the air. And Abu Gantva is having risen. And then Gachante is going or leaving. So while the Pacheka Buddha, having risen into the air, was going, this is his magical power, he's not walking away, but he rises up into the air and he moves through the air. So while he was leaving, by leaving through the air, Bhum Karit Va Titasa Sunakasa Hadayang Pali, the dog was standing there having Bhum Karoti, having barked. Then Hadayang Pali, his heart split or broke. Yeah. Because the dog misunderstood and thought that the Pacheka Buddha was leaving permanently. And so the dog was so sad.
Aww.
Yeah. That he was brokenhearted and he died.
Oh,
is it? Oh no. Actual. It's not just it's not a figure of speech, like my
it's
body
actually
is broken.
Broken.
I think
of heartbroken.
Like to be heartbroken, you wouldn't die.
Right. We say, even
like
now.
You say, I'm heartbroken and not having a class today.
Oh, actually, maybe I'm misinterpreting. Well, polity means to split, to break open. Maybe, okay, let's have a happy ending. So he didn't die, he was just heartbroken. Okay, anyway, we end with the verse, which sort of conveys the point. Ti rachana namete.
Ti rachana namete.
Uju jatika honti. Akutila.
Uju jatika honti akutila.
Manusapana anyang.
Manusapana anyang.
Chintanti anyang vadanti.
Chintanti anyang vadanti.
Okay, so tirachana means animals. Literally, it means those that go horizontally across, but it means animals. So nam is just nama. Ete, so these that are called animals are uju jatika. Uju means straight or honest. And kutila means crooked or deceitful. And then this is negation, akutila, not deceitful. So these so-called animals, or these that are called animals, are honest and not deceitful. Manusa pana, but people, human beings, anyang chintainti, they think in one way, anyang vadanti, but they speak in another way. Oh, I love you so much. I admire you so much. You're such a good person. You look so beautiful. You're so generous. Aren't you? You're so diligent. Okay, let's take a break. Let's see, 2:16.
I don't think the dog died. I think the way we speak of a heartbroken.
Okay, maybe I'm reading too dark a meaning into the story.
He was heartbroken.
Okay, good.
I mean, look at this holy dog.
Who knows?
Is it like from story? It's not Dhamma. So maybe it's
not Dhamma?
I mean, just from, you know.